Hey folks, Dan Frow here with your market update for March 19th, 2024. So in today's video, we're going to try to figure out what the Federal Reserve is going to do tomorrow, and then we're going to kind of go out on a limb and forecast what they're going to do the rest of the year based on a lot of the data that I'm going to show you today. So without further ado, let's get over to it, folks. Now, these are the top six products people use when they're buying their first house. These are not my rates, and I got to do this for legal purposes, folks. So what are these rates? Where do they consist of? Well, Mortgage News Daily, they survey lenders all over the country, and they ask them these five questions. The five questions are, if you had somebody looking to buy their first house, it was going to be their primary home, and it was a single family home. I know you guys are saying, Dan, right here, fella, that's me. So that might be your rate. No, these people have a 780 credit score and they're putting down 25%. So I'm almost guaranteed that's not you. And if that's not you, I'm going to give you all my information at the end of this video so you can reach out to me, a federally licensed mortgage and loan officer throughout the entire country. I'd love to help you. So without further ado, let's get to today's data. First thing we have on the agenda is the economic news. We have no news today, folks, and I'm not kidding you. You scroll down through here and there's news tomorrow about the FOMC, the Federal Reserve, but there's no news. So I reached out there trying to find some data for you guys, and I did find housing starts to explain. Let's start explaining the inventory of housing, and then we're going to go over to what the Federal Reserve looks at, inflation rates, and then I'll give you my prediction or my forecast. So what you're seeing right through here, this is the number of homes being built. Red is single family homes, blue is multi-units. This goes back to 2000, okay? You can see there was a huge run-up, okay, until the crash of 2008 through 2010. All this mainly occurred because of subprime mortgages, believe it or not. They crushed the banking system, the financial markets, and housing. Okay, so housing starts completely plummeted. Now, this is where it started, basically, our shortage of inventory. Now, this goes back to 1968, this chart. Same thing. Red is single-family homes. Blue is multi-units. You can see there's huge spikes in this. Okay, so let's look at where we are in production right now, right through here to where we've been in the past. That's kind of, let's say, normal, but we've never had this low of inventory, or this low of housing starts, basically going back to the 1960s. Okay, so there is a housing shortage. The next thing we want to look at is inflation. Where has inflation been? Where are we now? Well, the inflation just a couple years ago was at 7%. Look at 2022, it was 6.5%, and then it dropped 3 points from 2022 to 2023. That's one of the fastest reductions in inflation ever in our history. Okay, so that's what the Federal Reserve is acting with right now. They did a fantastic job. Now we're sticky. The reason why we're sticky, well, let's get to this. And this is kind of contrarian to a lot of what people are telling you. Okay, so here's how many people have been working, okay, throughout time. This goes back to 2010. We can go back. Let's see what the max is. 1948. So this is how many people were employed. It goes through here. Look at this. How many people were employed? It goes up, 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 and away. So you could see how many people were employed through here. This was the complete crash of during the COVID times. Okay, so you still have employment okay right through there. Now let's look at disposable income. How much people have in their pockets? Well, let's go back to a chart that brings us back to a long time ago, let's go right through here. Okay, here's how much disposable income people's had since the 1960s. So you see this chart, over time, families were trying to save to make a better life for them and their families. They had some little peaks and valleys through here, but all of a sudden right through here, what happened in 2020? Let's kind of focus in on this a little bit more. This is, again, disposable income. Look where it spiked. It spiked here and then to its highest level ever in history. Right through here. What happened during this time frame, 2020 and 2021? Well, that was COVID. So you have massive amounts of money hitting the markets from the government stimulus because they didn't want to put us into a depression. What also happened during these times? So if you don't know this, let me explain what also happened. If you were a homeowner during COVID or you had student loans during COVID, you probably didn't have to make payments. Yes, if you had a house and it was financed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, you could skip up to 18 months of payments. Okay, think if you didn't have a mortgage payment or something like that. The next thing is you didn't have to make a student loan payment either. So if you didn't have a house payment or a student loan payment, what would you have? And then we also had the money supply, the government pumping a bunch of money into the economy to help stimulate the economy so we wouldn't go into a depression. So you have all this money hitting the markets, and this is also proven right through here. This is the M2 money supply. How much money is in circulation in money markets, short-term investments, savings accounts, and so forth? You can see, look where that, how that peaked. It peaked substantially. Now we hit a top about in 2022. Now people are starting to deplete that money. But people are saying, okay, everybody's going to taking all their money out of the stock market, all their money out of the 401ks and everything else. They're leaving themselves with no money. Guys, that's not the fact. Okay, this is what's going on. And if you watch the investments over the last couple of years, did you know the overall averages on the stock market last year was up 25%? 25%. So if you missed that rally, sorry for you. So that's what's going on right there. So now let's go back. So we took a quick glimpse of right through here. We're seeing what housing supply is doing, which we're limited there. We're going through here seeing inflation. Inflation's coming down, but sticky. And then we start going through how much money is in circulation. Okay, so now let's look at what the Federal Reserve is going to do. All right, they're meeting in one day. This meeting, or the website that we're on is called the CME Watch Tool. It actually gives us a prediction of what the Federal Reserve is going to do at the next meeting, and it tells you right through there what's the likelihood the Federal Reserve will change the rate at the next meeting. Well, there's a 100% chance they're not going to do anything, okay, folks? So let me open this up. You're going to see right through here. The federal funds rate currently is in a range. That's how it works. It's 5.25 to 5.5. So this is saying basically the Federal Reserve is not going to do anything right there. Okay. So now here's what I want to do. I'm going to look at what's the probability of what they're going to do the next few meetings. So this is interesting. And a lot of people use this once I started using this about a year or so ago. So you see a lot of people on YouTube using this information. Most people didn't even realize this existed. All right. So this is telling us at the March meeting, nothing's going to happen. 99% chance nothing's going to happen. May meeting, same thing. And I'm on the boat with this, folks. Okay, so now I'm complexed. Is June going to be a pivot point? Well, I hate to say it, and I'm going to reiterate what the Federal Reserve says. It's data dependent, folks. So if we start to see inflation's stuck right now at like 3.1, and it ain't moving. So here's what my projections are. We're going to start seeing more and more layoffs, and it's going to start feeding into the markets. Okay, that's going to hurt the jobs numbers a little bit. Wage growth isn't as robust as people think. Okay, that's another thing. If you start looking at Wall Street every day, you're starting to see a lot of layoffs in IT, everything else. People aren't running out of money. Okay, so it's going to be a conflicting situation for the Federal Reserve. But one thing that I think is going to happen is one of the biggest components of the inflationary numbers that the Federal Reserve monitors is shelter. And it makes up a third of the inflation number. Okay, they still have shelter inflated. And I'm saying this, and hundreds of economists are saying this. Once the Federal Reserve quits looking in the rearview mirror of where we've been and sees where we are when it comes to this information, they're going to realize the housing shelter prices have come dramatically down. Now, here's an area that a lot of people aren't complaining about. Insurance. Insurance has probably almost doubled for most people over the last 2 years. That increases our numbers or our expenses, not only for housing, but also for cars, folks. So that's a huge piece of this equation. But that being said, here's my forecast. I'm saying in June, they're going to start to possibly pivot. Okay. They're going to pivot three times this year. They're going to do it June. Then they're going to do it in June or July. Then they're going to do it in 9 or 11. And then they're going to do it at the end of the year, kind of right around the election times. So those are my three predictions this year. Each one's going to be a quarter cut. So by the end of next year, or the end of this year, we'll be 75 basis points below where we started the year. So let's go over to the dot plot and let's see how that looks like. So what we're looking at the dot plot right through here, this is where the Federal Reserve, they meet four times a year, they meet and put together a dot plot. Now they meet more than four times a year, but they do four times a year, they create a dot plot. You can see right through here, this is saying by the end of 2024, we're probably going to be right through here. Where is that? That's 4.5 to 4.75. So that means if we're right here right now, 5.25 to 5.5, we have about a 75 basis points reduction in rates. So this ties into exactly what my forecasts are for this year. So what's the market doing right now based on really no data today other than housing starts? It's liking something through here, folks. So what you want to focus in on here, if you're trying to figure out where mortgage rates are going, ignore all the mainstream media, ignore the bond markets, ignore everything. What you need to focus in on is right here. It's called the MBS. It's a mortgage bond that trades on Wall Street. It's called a mortgage-backed security, actually. What you need to focus in on is one thing, is the price and the reaction to the price. So right now, most bonds trade and they tell you what the yield is. The MBS actually tells you the price. So you have to figure this out on your own. How this works is right now, if you squint, you're going to see the MBS price right now is up 14. All you need to know is this. If the price of a bond is up, the yields or the rate comes down. So this is going to see about a 0.05 reduction in rates today once the market starts to post. So you're going to see rates about 7.05, 7.06 by the end of today, and I'm expecting the markets to be completely flat. The other thing we want to focus in on here, folks, is right through here, the 10-year Treasury. A bad signal in the 10-year Treasury market is when 10-year yields get over 4.3. They're at 4.31. Might not sound like a big deal, but it is a big deal. So we're focusing on this, and I'll keep an eye on that and keep you guys updated on where that's helping or hurting with mortgage rates today. So my name is Dan Frio. I do this report on a daily basis. My whole goal is to help you guys navigate the real estate market. So what I need you to do is, if you want to check us out, go to therateupdate.com. Here's our website, okay? What you're going to do is, we created a brand new tab up there. If you're looking to buy your first house in 2024 and you're like, Dan, I just don't have the money for a down payment, check out a new grant finder right up through there. You can click that. You can search three of the best grants in the entire country that we're offering at this time. It's almost free money if you look at it that way. There's no payments needed on them. There's no lien on your house. Basically, they're forgivable right when you walk out of the house. But if you're out there and you're like, Dan, I'd really like to reach out to you guys or apply to see if I can get qualified in this market. I got good credit, I got good income, but I just don't have that down payment. Maybe you guys can help me. Or I'm in a good situation, I just need your help. Okay, so what do you need to do? There's three different ways you can do it. One, there's an Apply Now tab right up there. You're going to click that and you can start the process. Or what a lot of people do is they'll call in or email me. So what you can do is scroll down to the bottom of this website and you're going to find just those two things. You can give us a call at 7-844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626. Or you can email me directly at dan@therateupdate.com. So thanks so much for watching, folks. Tomorrow we're going to have a live event during the time that the Federal Reserve announces what they're going to do, and we're going to explain that. We're going to watch market reactions. I hope you join us at that time. Otherwise, see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye-bye.